Welcome to Omschooling for Spirituality. The Flow is a delightful mix of insight, divine inspiration, and humor, where wisdom meets earthiness to help your ongoing spiritual growth and transformation. Follow the flow of enlightenment and explore everything spiritual through the deepest self-inquiry as student Lisa Berry asks master spiritual teacher G.P. Walsh the kinds of questions you would ask an elder, a wise man, or a sage, and receive direct, simple, comprehensive, and deeply human lessons and teachings. From transcending the experience of separation, releasing old conditioned patterns and wounds, and alleviating suffering, to demystifying esoteric practices and revealing one's true purpose and innate freedom. Welcome to the flow of enlightenment. Transformation is all there is.
Ooh, and we step into the flow. Welcome everyone to the flow of enlightenment. I'm your co-host, Lisa Berry, and I'm here with master spiritual teacher, G.P. Walsh. And GP, how are you? You're always feeling great, but how do you feel about helping people to settle unsettling thoughts? Because we all have them.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, thoughts are the plague.
Yes.
were it not for thinking, everything would be just fine.
Yeah. Right.
Is there anything wrong with right now if you don't think about it?
Oh, that could be the question of the day. Well, of every day, really. Well, then, and you know what? You can't even be a question because then you'd be thinking about it. So. Well, this is really where this kind of topic came up for me today to bring to you is that a lot of people right now when I think about or people come to me with anything, it's they're unsettled, they're dissatisfied, they either want to change the past or they can't get their head wrapped around what the heck is going on. And I guess that defines where the origin of all problems, but I know that you've got some, we can unwrap this a little bit to see where do we even start with that for when we feel so We're coming from a place of no power. There's no control. Is that an okay place to be, or do we want that?
Well, we certainly don't want it, right? That's a different question as to, is it an okay place to be? And in fact, it doesn't matter if it's an okay place to be or not. It's where you are, right? And everything is okay if you just recognize that this is where I am. Remember, the whole substance of suffering is the fact that we do not like what is happening now and we want something else. I mean, that's it.
Yes.
Right? This is not okay, right? And it's the nature of the egoic mind, right? I don't like this. That's it. That thought, right? I want something it to be different.
Yes.
And then we compare, we contrast, and, oh, it could be better over there. But all of that is thinking. All of that is a story about this moment. Right? And we're so used to thinking that our thoughts and our story and our interpretation and our associations and all the meaning that we give this moment and the moment are the same thing.
Ooh.
And so we never question it. We never stop and think, am I making this up? Because the moment you do, you realize you are.
Yes. Okay, that's really interesting. The meaning that we each give the moment, and I will give this moment a different meaning than you, that you will give this moment, that, you know, everybody listening is giving this moment, but yet it's still the same moment. It's just a completely different thing. And yes, this is already enlightening. I already feel like this. And that's why sometimes it's so difficult when, people, obviously I'm talking with my friend and she's like, oh, you know, back to that, she's suffering. I want something to be different than it is. And I'm thinking, well, geez, I don't think it's all that bad, but I see that you're suffering. So,
yes.
So how does that, yes, do we ever want to we don't want to suffer if somebody else is suffering, but we don't really have the right or the possibility, even the ability, to end somebody else's suffering.
You don't have the nobody has the capacity to end somebody else's suffering, but we all have the responsibility to be present and loving with it. Now, if I'm clear, I don't suffer because of that. And my absence of suffering actually creates a very potent energy field that transmutes their suffering. And our hearts naturally gravitate towards health and happiness. So if it senses health and happiness in the room, it's going to try to find its way to it, even if the person themselves is causing it, which they are. And it becomes a very deep spiritual inquiry to go beyond just being content with the moment to seeing the reality of the moment. Because nothing has inherent meaning. So we experience happiness or misery based on the meaning we give things. Simple as that. You know, you look at a tree, right? You and I look at that tree and we go, my God, that's beautiful. We can even be fascinated by it. The botanist sees something completely different. You know, see the structure and the genus and all sorts of stuff. You know, the environmentalist will chain himself to it. The real estate developer thinks it's a big pain in the ass. He wants to, you know, mow it down. It's in the way of my development, my gated community and golf course.
Right.
They're all looking at exactly the same thing and having a completely different experience. Now, if the meaning was in the thing, we would all have the same experience. Which means no thing has any inherent meaning at all. This is, in fact, what Buddha meant when he said no self. There's nothing inherent in any object. We don't ever experience the object. We experience our beliefs and feelings and thoughts and assumptions about it. And it is from that that we suffer. Another great example is light on a flower. You look at a flower, you go, oh, what a beautiful red flower. Well, it's not red. The flower's not red. The tree's not green. The sky's not blue. Huh? What are you talking about? Color is an attribute of light, not the plant. Right. If it was an attribute of the plant, in the middle of the night, it would still be bright red.
Oh, my gosh.
But it isn't.
I never thought of that.
Right. It's constantly changing because the color is an attribute of light. So your life, the quality of your life, is an attribute of your consciousness, not of the events that are taking place. This is the power. This is freedom.
We're going to get into freedom, actually. I like that, but I love that. I just felt like a consciousness is compared to, there's that connection again, is light. You know, we are the light. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I have to tell you, when you first started telling, so we started saying about the botanist, the real estate, and the environmentalist, I thought it's like a joke with a rabbi priest. And what are rabbi priests in the comments?
That's right. That's right.
I was waiting for a joke.
A botanist and a Greenpeace member walked into a bar.
Yeah. What do they have in common? A tree. Oh, what? And that is really literally about what they do have in common. It was the tree or the consciousness. That's what we all have in common is we
yes.
all have consciousness or our consciousness.
We all have consciousness. That is the thread that runs through everything. Mm. And the content of consciousness is different in every body mind, right? But the consciousness is the same. The consciousness is the universal field.
I'd like to take this to this question because I was thinking about this earlier, thinking the suffering. People usually are thinking, gosh, I wish it didn't end this way. I didn't wish it didn't happen. I wish I didn't say that, or why did this have to happen? And then when we were just chatting and I thought, well, if we just looked at it differently, and then switched our thoughts, our feeling about that moment, does that remove responsibility? What is the word? Does that remove accountability from us? Like, is it not good that maybe we have a little bit of, not guilt or something, but does guilt ever serve us? Does I wish it would be different ever serve us so that we don't do that thing again in the future?
Guilt does not, no. Shame does not, but remorse does.
Ooh.
You know, okay. There's a way, you know, I did something, I got punished, I feel guilty about it. There's an emotional heaviness to that. Right?
Yes.
But remorse comes out of a deep seam. I mean, in fact, to me, the only way to truly get to being wise is remorse, right?
Oh, wow.
because now you actually see. You know, when I do something and somebody says that's a bad thing, you shouldn't have done that, and I bear the consequences, I feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
I haven't learned anything.
Right.
Right? But when I actually see, really see, the blinders come down, the selfishness comes down, the egoism comes down, and I actually see the consequences of my own action and the suffering I've inflicted on somebody else that I cannot undo, I am now in a completely different state of mind. That's a direct seeing. And we've all done it. We've all cheated friends, we've all betrayed, we've all lied, and then we've stepped back and gone, oh my God, what did I do? What was I thinking? Of course you weren't, you know, consciousness wasn't there, you were blindly going along. But the incapacity to do that is what leads to the incredible cruelty and barbarity that's going on in our world. We do not feel the consequences of our actions. You know, if I'm some rich dude, you know, sitting up in Washington, and my kids aren't going to go off to war, but all these other kids are, and I don't feel the impact of that, I can just keep sending them off to war, which is exactly what happens. I look at it, well, I'm profiting, I'm doing quite well, thank you very much. Oh, go ahead, die for your country. Right? Hey, buddy, why don't you die for your country? There's that absence of empathy, right? It creates the blindness, and you're not wise. Wisdom that gets into the heart is wisdom that has gotten there because the heart has been broken, seen the consequences of its own actions, and realized, I have done something that cannot be undone. That takes you to a different level.
And that feels like that causes a little bit of a pain, though, and suffering, like that, and back to that unsettledness, like, does it dissipate by...
It does cause pain, but it removes suffering.
Oh! Hold on here. It does cause pain, but it removes suffering. Okay, now I have to ask the difference between pain and suffering.
Well, the suffering is always holding on to something that isn't true. Right, you know, we suffer because of resistance. Suffering, resistance, ego, all the same. There are three words for the same thing. If I resist what's happening, I suffer. If I flow with it, hence the name of our show, I don't suffer. That doesn't mean I'm exempt from pain, you know. If somebody breaks my heart, I'm going to weep over it. But now if I make up all sorts of stories about it, why did they do that, this horrible person, this always happens to me, I've created suffering, which is all psychological and emotional. Life does not suffer. There is no suffering in life. It is all in the mind. People think, well, I'm in pain. Well, yeah, so? Just be with the pain without any additional story over it. And yes, it will hurt, but you will find it to be orders of magnitude less than the nonsense that's going on in your mind that is either trying to resist feeling it or trying to perpetuate it or justify oneself. I mean, the list is endless. Mm-hmm. Right? But you can, this is not something that's out there. You can practically try this for yourself. It's just a matter of just allowing yourself to feel what you're feeling without a story. And you find that all of it gets reduced just to sensation. And without a story, it is completely bearable.
So here's a tricky one. This is where my mind would go. Is what if I'm witnessing someone else's pain, but it's causing me, I'm causing myself suffering. I'm suffering over someone, seeing someone, like an animal's pain. There it is. That's a big one, because a lot of people really suffer when they think of the pain in the world. That's not even
yes.
being done to them. And that's one thing that I would say, I have a hard time becoming settled around that, because it can cause some anger in me, and me wanting to go out and kill all those people or make you causing pain to animals. So, but that's me telling a story. So if someone is listening right now, they're thinking, yeah, when I see other pain, I'm creating the suffering. How can I ease that suffering?
This is a very important one, because when I talk about things like that, there's a tendency for people to think that I'm promoting indifference.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't. I cannot witness the pain of someone else without feeling it. So now the question is, where's the spiritual maturity that allows me to transmute that suffering, right? Mm-hmm. First off, you have to take it out of the realm of suffering. You develop your own sensibility and your own wisdom enough that you become beyond suffering. At that point, you can see clearly what's actually happening and how best to respond to it. You know, that may take the form of, you know, rescuing an animal, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It may take the form of becoming some kind of an activist against animal agriculture. I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't eat meat. Right? Mm-hmm. It's just too cruel, and I will not participate in it. And I will make that clear to anybody who asks. You know, there's not going to be a vegan jihad, right? So I'm not going to be out in the streets about it. But I make the point very clear. I make it on the platform that I have as to the various reasons why I think it's time for us to outgrow that. And then I do everything I can to minimize it. But if I take it on in myself, right? Like you said, I get really angry. Well, the anger comes, you know, anger is a very natural human reaction. It's a human response. And what it's a response to is you're defending yourself. And underneath that anger is a sense of powerlessness. Mm-hmm. So deal with the powerlessness and you won't be angry. You'll feel powerful and you'll feel resourceful. And you'll feel like you can do something, and we should.
You know,
if anyone is suffering, I'm very outspoken about my government.
Actually, you know what?
Corrupt on that, from top to bottom.
Corruption. Actually, that's a good one. When we come back, because I know we have to sneak away to commercial here. It's absolutely about transmuting suffering. But you know what? They call it human suffering here, clearly for a reason. I'm starting to get all this, and I hope all the listeners are too. But join us again after the commercial break. We are here in the Flow of Enlightenment with G.P. Walsh, and we are going to continue this. Oof, this is a deep one. Time just flew on me there.
Yeah, I lost track.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Of course I could, but not now.
All right, we are back and just diving. Well, it sounds horrible to say this, but we're diving into human suffering. Not really like that. it's about transmuting suffering. And, you know, as I have another year under my belt, I think, well, I feel like I'm closer. I feel like I'm getting there. But, GP, you've really shed a lot of light. I like this enlightenment thing on why things happen. Because it's a little easier to just, you know, not just let it go. But if somebody out there is suffering and you're wondering, I'm unsettled, I'm dissatisfied, we're inviting you to call in and ask GP these questions like, what do I do? How do I get through this? And the number to call right now is 202-570-7057. It's the Om Times radio station, in case you missed me there and you need to Google it or look it up or anything. And you could also always write us. We're going to, GP, you're going to set up a beautiful email address that they can do that as well, but we don't have that for you just yet.
Yes. Maybe by the end of the show, we've got another break. I'll get it done.
Oh, yes. Huh? You're that quick. Well, this is good. And so, as we're saying then about transmuting the suffering or corruption, that's a big one. A lot of people right now their minds are going crazy because you said the word, they're feeling powerless. And that is a big one that you mentioned there. And can we just talk about that? Where does our power even come from in the first place? What could we even do where we would feel like we have gained any kind of power? Is that possible?
Well, boy, power is such a big word, and it has so many, it's like the tree, it has so many different meanings. People think of, in our world, power is influence and money, which are, you know, almost equivalent, right?
Yeah.
Political power, economic power, really the power of the oppressor, right? That I can lord it over to you. Military power, we refer to that as. And power is simply capability, the ability to get things done. And when you're talking about economic or political or military power, it's the capacity to impose your will on someone else against theirs. That is not spiritual power. It has nothing to do with it. If you look at the sages, I mean, in Christianity, Christ is a great example. There's no more powerful human being that's walked the planet, right? But he had no political power, no influence whatsoever, which gives us some insight into how corrupt the Christian church has become, because it's all political influence now. Nothing to do with Christ, because he did none of that.
Right, yeah.
And yet his power and his influence, I mean, it's lasted over 2,000 years. I mean, that's pretty powerful. Right?
Yes.
So where did that come from? It came from someplace completely different. It wasn't the power over somebody else. It was the power over one's own mind. It's the wisdom that is able to discern between what's true and what's false. You know, there's a certain inherent powerlessness in the human body. And on a very primitive level, we react to that sense of powerlessness through the fight or flight mechanism, right? I'm either going to get out of Dodge or I'm going to put up my Dukes. And the
Dodge or Dukes.
And his Dodge or Dukes. And literally the physiological experience of fear is simply the body preparing to run. That's what fear is.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. All of the energy. That intense feeling that comes is all available energy is being pulled out of all of the higher functions. You don't need creative thinking when you're being chased by a bear. You only need to run faster, right? And so that's what the body does. Now, if you look at every single animal on the planet, 95% of the time, that's their strategy. I'm going to run, mm-hmm. right? But if you can't, the body switches modes. And that mode is what we call anger. That's simply the body preparing to fight, right? It goes a bit crazy, you see red. It's the same, all the energy is going into the muscles, but the entire disposition changes. At this point, it becomes, as far as the physiological aspect of it is concerned, it's chemical. It feels that way. And so that's how we normally respond to powerlessness. Psychological powerlessness is different. That's when I don't think I have any kind of power, you know, because of the way I've been trained or conditioned or anything like that. And that state where where you're powerless and you cannot do anything about it, you cannot run and you cannot fight, that's trauma. And that's what happens to children all the time, especially when their parents are inflicting it. They can't run and they can't fight. Boom, trauma. That's the traumatization.
Yes.
That's the freeze mechanism. The whole thing just shuts down. That energy is stuck off somewhere until it pops up later, you know, 40 years later when you find you're in a life you don't want. Because that's how these energies work. So where's the power? Well, the power is in understanding. Simple as that. When you understand the mechanism, you become its master. If you don't, you are its servant. You're either conscious or you're not. It's actually quite simple and quite binary. But we don't understand that. We're so used to thinking that our conditioning and our reactions are our actual nature that we don't question them. And as a result, we end up with this profound ignorance of our own bodies, our own minds, our own lives, how everything works. And we end up, it's quite a dream. It's just how we've been conditioned.
I'm like just blown away right now because I'm feeling when you said about the trauma and that's the freeze, shut down and stuck energy. I do want to ask you this, but I'll make the statement first. But I was thinking about stuck energy and when the opposite of stuck energy would be the flow. And then I was thinking, as a personal question, do you believe that trauma literally can be a stuck ball of energy in somebody's body that can cause physical, like, and can we release pain and disease, and can we release it for real, like decades later?
Absolutely yes to both.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, absolutely yes to both. Because it is a, anything, right, be it emotional, physical, psychological, any kind of trauma is stuck energy, right? The flow, the natural flow of your being wants to head in a certain direction, and it can't. Right, and it needs to. I mean, can you see the power of that inner conflict? So you've got this force, like a river, trying to push somewhere. It's natural that it wants to do that, and it can't not do that, right? But there's this obstacle in the way, right? And so you have an irresistible force meeting an immovable object, and that grabs energy. Maintaining that defense, right, that is keeping the flow from happening, even though the flow is natural, and the restriction of that flow is quite unnatural, that's the trauma, right?
Yes.
But the energy that has to keep that from moving, because if it moves, right, you suffer, you're going to be hurt, right?
Yeah.
Literally, it can feel like a matter of life and death. So there's all this energy that's going into keeping this thing in place, keeping it from getting out, right? And so you've got this enormous inner conflict, and all that extra energy that's going to this defense, right, to trying to keep this thing under wraps, well, that's the energy of your creative life, your your happiness, your joy, your self-expression, you know, your dancing. That's the energy, because it's got to come from somewhere.
You know, this leads to a really valuable, hopefully valuable question to answer, is some people in different spiritual realms will say, you know, always let me put a shield of white light around you to protect and keep out this thing. And I remember learning years ago, probably 10 years, 15 years ago, that somebody said, well, no, don't do that. Do you know how much energy it takes to hold up that fence, you know, to keep holding that out? Let it go through you. Just let it go through you. Is that something more helpful for people to imagine?
Yes. I mean, every shield, you know, be it a, you know, the pure crystalline white light, or a stupid border wall, it not only keeps things out, it keeps you in. I mean, it works both ways. You can't have it one way or another. It's not like you get this nice wall with a little door for you. It doesn't work that way.
Now this is my spot.
Yeah, this is my door. I've got my little private, you know, my private exit over to good life, right? So secret tunnel, and I just kind of pop up over where all the goodies are. It doesn't work that way. You need to become transparent, right? You take off all of the Velcro, and it won't stick to you anymore.
Right. Oh, okay.
You know, that's if it has no place to stick.
Right. Yeah. I have to tell you this, Velcro. This is just too much now. I can't believe you said Velcro. That is not a common word. People just don't walk say Velcro. Well, anyways, I was speaking with this fabulous lady who forages and makes tea and everything, and I hope she's okay. Her cat's name is Velcro, and I was like, what? Because I just found two-sided Velcro. Like, how did you get that? It's funny. It's amazing. And then just earlier that day or two, a day before that, I had gone through stuff, and I always make cat games to entertain my cats, and it was double-sided Velcro because I put it all over the house on the wall so they can catch little balls and hunt without killing. And so I was like, and you just said Velcro. So this is so interesting things about sticking. So we don't, suffering is when something is sticking, stuck, Velcroed.
Correct. Yes. And it can be as sticky as it wants, but if there's nothing sticky in you, it can't stick.
You need both things to be sticky.
You need it on both sides. And I can't control what the world does, but I can certainly control whether or not I'm covered in Velcro.
Yeah, that's funny. No Velcro suits here. So
Velcro suits.
So transparency is not our goal, because that's just to be. We can just be transparent. And I wanted to go back to, I was really loving that word about spiritual power versus all the other kind of powers that involve oppression and imposing things on other people. This spiritual power, I was going to have you say, you know, what would be in spiritual power? But then I heard you say, you know, your creative expression, your joy, your happiness. Is that what you would say spiritual power is?
Well, those are kind of that's the perfume of it. Mm. What's the actual power? True self-knowledge. If I know who I am, I cannot be fooled into being what I'm not. If I know what's true, I always know what's false. Nothing can therefore stick to me. Spiritual power is truth. Knowing what's true. Because if it's true, it isn't, you know, remember truth. We talked about this last week. Truth. Truth does not require anyone to believe it. It is self-validating, permanent, and eternal. What could be more powerful than the immovable truth? Beliefs don't have power. They require that kind of effort and oppression and enforcement in order to keep them in place, because they don't have it in and of themselves. Because a belief seen as a belief vaporizes. So it has to be enforced through external power. Truth does not. Truth can be infinitely polite.
Yes. You know, I was going to, you know what, I love this, right? Enforced. But I was going to ask you, because I have this little note now that says fooled into falsehood. And I was going to ask you, how are we fooled? But I love that you just said I just can't read my writing. Externally, enforced externally. Is that how we are fooled? And we do have Brian as a caller back, but I wanted to ask this question. Yeah, is it externally enforced? Is that how we are fooled?
Well, that's how it's maintained, but that's not how we're fooled.
Okay.
We are fooled through our own ignorance and our lack of scrutiny, right?
Ooh.
Now, we're not... this happens to all of us, okay?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because all of us are conditioned. All of us, you know, before you can even talk, you know, the tribe is already instilled in you, the beliefs that are going to be with you, maybe for your whole lifetime. Matter of fact, they will be there for your whole lifetime unless they're scrutinized. Now, the only way for them to be scrutinized is some kind of little light has to go off inside that says maybe this isn't true. And the thing that makes that light go off is simply grace and inspiration or suffering, which brings us back to the original thing. Because if I'm suffering, I'm looking for a way out.
Yes.
But of course, I'm in my ignorance. So I don't know really what the way out is because I don't know how I got in here in the first place. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on. But if that inkling is there, something inside is saying something's off. Well, that voice is truth. And you can't silence it. And you can only cover it up for so long. It will eventually take over. But it is only our own ignorance that keeps us in place. It keeps any of this in place. It feeds on that ignorance. That's why billions of dollars are invested in propaganda, because they're just trying to keep this belief alive.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Enormous amount of energy and time keeping a false belief alive. But you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, its power is gone. Doesn't matter how much political or economic power it has. Right? When it's seen to be false, it becomes impotent.
Yes, and you know what's funny? I love that you said that word, actually, because I'm often reminded of the saying, take the wind out of the sails, and the wind is this belief. And I'm going to say thank you to our sponsors, and it goes in perfectly here just before commercial, because we were talking about ignorance and lack of scrutiny, and so I'd like to just talk about self-mastery, and we here are, you know, both GP and myself are, you know, this beautiful show, The Flow of Enlightenment, is sponsored, and sponsored by iAwesome, and iAwesome is offering a space for people to connect with metaphysical concepts in an educational system supported by a social and community-based environment, with encouragement, empowerment, integrity, and love being the foundation of their online setting. They invite you to become a student today for free for a trial date up until the launch date, which is Thursday, October 29th. So you want to scooch on over to iAwesome.com and get signed up there. But you know what, GP, we'll go to commercial, but then when we come back, we do have a caller on the line, and I know it's going to be a fabulous question to help end suffering. We'll be back.
Fantastic. I'll hang around.
All right.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served. Thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America. 200 food banks strong.
Question.
Whoops.
We're just chatting away during the commercials. I love it. Welcome back, everyone, to the Flow of Enlightenment. Oh, GP, you are just, you honestly, you just, I love the humor. The humor keeps it fun and flowing. And okay, here's the giant question before anything. Humor, they say, and laughter is the best medicine. Why?
Oh, because humor just takes you out of the mind and right into the body. It's like music. Mm. And it has no loyalties. It's totally irreverent. And it will set its crosshairs on anything. And so, you know, even the most pontificating windbag, you know, will suffer under, you know, everybody gets, you know, gets thrown up there for ridicule, including me. And yeah. It's the best way to look at life because we want to take things so seriously.
Yes.
And we want to take ourselves so seriously. And, you know, we're all bozos on this bus.
Yes. Oh, that is so true. Well, I'd be interesting that what we have our caller here, which I'm so happy that Brian is called because he was a guest before, a guest caller. I love this. And we really do appreciate when people call in and ask, because this is, you're helping everybody else, and somebody else definitely has the same question around the world somewhere that you do. So GP, would we like to bring on Brian and see what question he has for you?
Yeah, and, you know, I love the questions because it's so much easier to speak directly to somebody's experience rather than being general about it. So when somebody gives me something specific, you know, we can hone in on that and alleviate suffering specifically.
Yes, yes.
So, hello, Brian.
Hey, G. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
You guys are killing me.
Thank you. Not literally, I hope.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, not yet. But, my goodness, Lisa, you are like a sponge. I just love that.
Oh, thank you.
You go through so many concepts like in one show. It's amazing because I feel like I'm calling in about something. And we've gone through six different things I was going to call in about.
We're efficient over here.
But so I have an observation from Sunday. I was driving home from work, and that's when I called in to Satsang, or not called in, but pulled up whatever on the YouTube. And there was something, as soon as I got home, I mean, of course, it's always great listening to that, and there was something almost right at the beginning that we got on, and it kind of reset me to a point where, because I wasn't miserable, I was kind of, you know, okay, and then you said something that I thought I should reset into like a total happy mode, and it totally struck me that I'm like, wow, this voice kind of said, wow, you're afraid to be happy.
Oh.
Mm.
And it's like, wow, I think I really am kind of afraid to be happy because I started to think about it like, okay, am I just afraid to be happy because I know it's not going to happen? You know, like at some point, because everything's a cycle, you can be really happy about something, but at some point it's going to start kind of going away and then something else will happen and you might be in suffering, but I can kind of bring myself out of suffering because after so many years of listening to you, I feel like, okay, I can at least get into that point of if I didn't think this was really wrong or if something was really going on, would I be suffering or would it upset me right now? And I kind of get into that and I can bring myself out, but there is this thing that I think, and I'm probably not alone, but are we really afraid to be happy?
Yes. Next question.
I'm joking.
I was just
going to
say, okay, bye.
Okay, thank you. That'll be $100. It's not that, you know, it's strange. We seek happiness and yet we don't allow ourselves to experience it. It was what we were talking about before about holding back in trauma, because that's the trauma, right? Imagine you're a little kid, right? And You're just full of life. Nothing is pretentious. Everything is totally natural and innocent. And of course, like a little child, you reach for the shiny object and your hand gets slapped. That right there summarizes the entire thing. My natural impulse to express myself, to reach, to be curious, to experience, hits a wall. And that wall is dangerous. And that wall is being put there by the very people who are there to protect me. That's trauma. Now, that sense of simply reaching and enjoying, that's happiness. And we internalize that as something that's always looking for the other shoe to drop. What's going to happen? Now, I can speak to this very directly because that was my life, my young life. I mean, it was always looking for that other shoe to drop because it would. It wasn't imaginary. You know, it was only a matter of time. Right? And that internalized into my nervous system. Probably into my 40s before it really all became clear. And so what happens in that instance is everything is muted, right? The defense mechanism is on high alert. And so this feeling gets there that if I am happy, my guard will be down and I'm going to really get hurt. So I can't let myself go there. Right? So that means that I'm always alert for the danger, even if there isn't any, which means I'm never allowed to feel safe. Because if I am safe, it may not last. So I am always on alert as if I'm hearing the lion growl, you know, a couple, you know, 10 feet away from me. I have to stay on alert. This is a psychological and an emotional condition, right? And the fact that you're seeing it operating is the doorway out of it. It is an emotional and psychological conditioning that will not allow the feeling of happiness to be there because it assumes that that will bring down the defenses and now you're really going to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Now the truth is, and this is how you begin to work through it, is that you invite the nervous system. You see, look, imagine your nervous system is actually like a deer. Just the other day, there was this four deer out back of where I live, sipping on the water, right? And watching them, they have huge ears, right? They're walking around, they're eating, and, you know, their ears, they can hear everything. And I moved a little bit. Heads went up, ears crooked around. They sat there and looked. I didn't move. And so eventually, they relaxed, they went back to drinking the water. Now, your nervous system has that capacity. There is a part of you that is, it's what it's built to do. It doesn't take any extra energy. It is constantly scanning the environment for danger, primarily danger, and secondarily opportunity, right? First, am I safe? Then second, I want to eat and mate. Right, very primitive, but there it is. You know, and I'm a big fan of all three. So, but what happens is that mechanism gets blown out of proportion. It's just the nature of human beings and the way consciousness works and how it develops. Now, eventually, what happens is you begin to settle in, as you simply allow it. Explore it, reconcile with it, recognize that the only reason that's there and it doesn't want you to be happy is it's trying to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. And that's its job, and it's going to do that, and it's a good idea. We kind of want to, right? Mm-hmm. But we want it to do it with the minimum amount of impact. And so as you begin to just kind of sink into it and recognize it for what it is, stop fighting it. You can literally invite the nervous system to say, hey, why don't you just do this when there's actually danger present? And I know you sense it. If it's there, you'll find it. And so what we begin to do is begin to remove from that the imaginary, the psychologically imposed idea that danger is ever present, And then the system begins to drop out of that heightened sense of danger, the assumption that danger is always there, and sinks into its natural, powerful capability to when it is there, it responds. When it isn't, it just completely relaxes.
Nice.
Brian, I was going to say, here's hopefully a helpful statement, is that I invite my nervous system to separate from the imagination and to sink into its natural capable powers. There we go.
Wow.
Yes. And you can literally do that. As you are conscious of this, and you're conscious that this is what's happening, right? So now you're not making an enemy of the nervous system or fighting it, which is a waste of time anyway. Instead, you can, from this conscious position of this enlightened witness, you can literally invite it to come out and look. Is there danger? If there is, do whatever you need to do. Absolutely. But if there isn't, just go back to scanning the horizon. And let me be happy. And it'll do it.
Really brilliant. Mm. As usual. I mean, I'm not going to lie. you have brilliant stuff come out of that mouth of yours, mister. I got to tell you.
I love that. And Brian, perhaps now the observation will be, it will switch from, or reprogram from, I'm afraid to be happy to, it's safe for me to be happy, or I'm powerful enough to choose to be happy.
Yes.
Very nice. Yeah.
Exactly the case. And you can see it, consciously you can realize that that's true. And then it's simply a matter of allowing your nervous system to validate that. Is it really true? Because just thinking it isn't enough. The nervous system has to look around and go, yep, you're right. Good, I can relax.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does that, you'll just feel it.
Yeah, that's really, it's really, I have to thank you because, gosh, I mean, I've been listening to you for like 10 years now, probably. And even though sometimes I feel spiritually handicapped, I have to say that there are so many moments where I will catch myself having a different perspective than what I would have had a year ago or 5 years ago or whatever. And that was kind of, I think, one of them was just in wow, oh, wow, there's like a happiness thing going on here. Why, the fact of even noticing it rather than just going with it and then kind of starting to look at all the beliefs. And because, I mean, there are beliefs about being happy and beliefs about, it's like that whole thing. It's like one or two bad things happen and someone will say, well, bad news travels in threes. And, so you're sitting there waiting for the third thing.
Thank you very much. Yes.
that power boost. Wow.
Well, I want to say thank you for yourself for celebrating that growth and that evolution. Well, here we go. Thank you for celebrating your transformation. You're consciously aware of that. And as GP and I like to say, I know we only have 1 minute left, but I wanted to just say that really nicely there for you to know that you are recognizing, you're witnessing and being a part of your transformation. And it's it never ends. So that 10 years, we hope you're listening to us in another 10 years.
Yeah, I hope we're all around. But truly, I owe so much to Jade for the past 10 years. I mean, I have just, man, that guy is just a marvel. You're a marvel, Jay. A marvel.
GP.
Thank you,
lives. Well, and on that, GP, if I could get you to invite everybody in this last minute to your sat songs, can you share with people where they can tune in and listen in with Brian?
Oh yeah, that's right. And the satsang, it's free. It's open to everyone. It's on YouTube every Sunday at what time is it at?
I think you're
2 o'clock.
I think you're,
it's a two. Yeah. Yes, it's 2 o'clock Eastern time, which would be 7 p.m. UTC. 3 o'clock.
Oh,
thank
you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. 3 o'clock. That's right, I do it at noon. Thanks. Sure glad we didn't kick Brian off.
Yeah.
Just go to YouTube/GP Walsh, and I broadcast it on my channel every Sunday. I've been doing them for years now. And it's satsang. It's just like this. It's just people asking questions and me answering. I don't have people calling in. That's why I love this show. And I don't have Lisa to slow me down when I go too fast, or go off about something where everybody's sleeping. She reminds me. So it's nice having the coach.
Well, we do invite you to call in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern here on Om Times Radio for the Flow of Enlightenment with GP Walsh and myself, Lisa Berry. And you can figure out the email later, but call in, message us, find us Facebook, go to YouTube on Sunday to hear GP Walsh. And thank you so much, GP. This has been so incredible again.
Thank you, Lisa.
Goodbye, everyone. Choose happiness.
Bye, everyone.